Da 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 da.
Da 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 da.
We'd like to thank some patrons, wouldn't we, boys?
Yes, we would.
The first patron we would like to thank is our first patron.
Who's that?
I don't know.
It's Luke Cutforth.
It's me. It's Luke, isn't it?
Luke Cutforth.
I was the first patron. I'm very proud of it.
Our first patron is Megan Poynting.
Thank you, Megan. Thanks, Megan.
That's very rude. You shouldn't do that.
Do what?
Point. And our second patron, this one is mostly for people watching the video. Our second patron is Me Standin.
Is that their name?
It's literally the name that they've gotten. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Me Standin. if you are listening to this, Me Standin, I'm sorry you stood up to demonstrate your name. I'm very sorry.
Go watch it on YouTube.
If you've had that for your whole life, but thank you for helping us and helping us make science podcasts.
And we're very lucky with the last patron.
Yes.
It's...
cool. That's their name.
How do you type that?
What nationality is that?
How do you spell that?
It's Hiccup.
Oh! What?
That was a really good Hiccup.
New patron, meet Hiccup. Wow. Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you, guys.
And if you'd
like to be a patron of our Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/SciGuys. Shall we begin the show?
Let's begin the show. Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Champ and Luke Cutforth.
Good day.
Hello.
This week, we'll be talking about disgraced doctors and acquiring autism.
Oh, vaccines.
Yeah.
I've been making this joke every time you mentioned vaccines since we started doing Sci Guys.
I've been planning this episode since we started doing Sci Guys.
I was going to say, is this the big one you've been alluding to for like...
This is the big one.
6 months now.
This is one that has taken me literally 6 months to do all the research.
Wow.
Make sure I've got everything
on
it.
Wow. Okay,
I'm excited to get woke.
Yeah. So science can be described as a pursuit of knowledge, and a key part of that is being able to put the truth before yourself. Sometimes ignoring fact and barreling on ahead can have disastrous consequences that affect the world for years. Mm. In 1998, Andrew Wakefield published a paper which he claimed linked vaccines to autism.
Oh.
Spoiler alert, it didn't.
This is where it all started.
Yeah. Let's just jump right in. What are vaccines? You guys know what vaccines are, right?
Yeah, we did a whole episode on them.
We did a whole episode on them. That's right. You can listen to that if you want, but it's not necessary to listen to it because I'm doing this one also.
Snorting sores.
Broadly, there are two types of vaccine. You've got attenuated live vaccines or inactivated killed vaccines.
Mm.
Effectively, a vaccine is just...
weak.
Either a weakened or dead virus, bacteria, any kind of thing that will give you a disease that you put into your body to get an immune response. To get your body some practice against fighting it.
It's the same thing that you're trying to protect yourself from. You just put into your body.
Yeah, exactly.
Essentially.
Because your immune system then learns how to fight it.
It's like, James, if I wanted one of my housemates to not let you in our house, I might make a dead version of you and
you
bring,
might,
it,
oh,
bring
make
it
like
to
a,
my house so that they can see your face. And then when you actually turn up, they'll be like, I remember that corpse that came around.
Get a life-size cutout of me.
It's kind of like Target
practice. Don't let this in the house.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Exactly. It's very easy. So your body basically just remembers how to beat this weak or dead illness. And then it lasts for either a lifetime or you need to get booster shots depending on what it is.
That's quite good.
Do you guys know what autism is?
No.
So there are other names for autism. You've got autism spectrum disorder, which is the medical name. Autism spectrum condition, which is used instead of disorder for some people, because it's not really a disorder. It's just kind of a way that your brain works, which is different to other
people. Just a different way.
Yeah, so it's not neurotypical. It's
neuroatypical?
Yeah, sure. Asperger's syndrome is used by some people to describe autistic people who have high intelligence or above average intelligence. So Asperger's is actually just
Is that
autism.
How it's defined?
Yeah,
because I never knew the difference.
No, I was looking this up. It's not medical at all. It's just something people use to define.
Wow, I never knew that.
Autistic people.
I've learned.
Yeah, I know.
I think my brother has Asperger's.
That's good.
Is he super smart?
Well, he's really good at flying planes.
Well, then he's
that's like
smart
that,
in that
that's
way. Anyway,
his thing. He can like he got in a plane the first time he got in a plane. He like took off, flew it, landed seamlessly. Like
you know,
didn't need any help.
I did that not with a plane, but with a bike. My dad...
That's not the same at all.
I know, but I don't have Asperger's. Although my mum thought I did for a while. My dad taught me to cycle, and he like I kept on like not doing it. And he was teaching me for like weeks and weeks and weeks, and just I wasn't getting anywhere. And then eventually I just went, just leave me alone, and just started cycling straight away. Just whee!
That's like, fantastic.
I'll do it by myself.
Yeah.
First time I tried to ride a bike, I ended up halfway over a fence. So
I don't remember.
I got caught and I was like dangling.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Typical, like a cartoon.
Yeah, it was really, really funny.
I think I was like really scared of falling off. So my parents bribed me with like a PS3 game, PS2 game. They were like, I'll buy you this game if you learn to ride a bike.
Wow.
That's brilliant.
I was like, no.
Weird parenting.
Thinking back to that, I'm like, that's sad, isn't it?
So back to autism. It's actually not an illness. It's not just really a disorder.
I think it was an illness.
Well, no, some people might.
Oh, no, I've caught autism.
I mean,
who gave it to me?
It doesn't mean you've got an illness or a disease. It just means your brain works differently, like I said. It's something that you're born with, or it appears when you're quite young. Mm. And if you're autistic, you're autistic forever. There's no cure. Because that's like saying there's no... I mean, it's like saying there's no cure for having blue eyes. I'm sorry, I'm afraid.
Damn it.
You can't fix that.
I've been chasing that.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Yeah, so it's just some autistic people need help with certain things just because society isn't really...
built for them.
Yeah. Built for them.
Yeah.
In the same way that it is built for illistic people, which is a word that people have made for people that aren't autistic.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah. I may be pronouncing that wrong. I've only ever seen it on Twitter. So some people with autism can have learning disabilities, which is generally what you kind of... Mm. When you've got the standard kind of like... stereotypical autistic person, you think of someone with learning disabilities, but that's not actually
difficulties or disabilities.
Both.
Cool.
Yeah, both. It's not inherent with autistic people, but you've got a higher
as a crossover.
Yeah, mm. there's a higher percentage of learning disabilities and difficulties with autistic people, and that's the same for depression and anxiety and OCD. Mm. Those are all got they've all got higher incidence in autistic people.
Ah.
Yeah. So signs of autism, some people will find it hard to communicate and interact with other people, to understand how people think or feel, get anxious or upset in unfamiliar situations and social events, or do and think the same things like over and over. Hmm. So, I mean, I think we all kind of generally know the signs of autism.
Yeah.
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 Some people are more neurotypical and others are down the other end of the spectrum and less so. Like I said, you can have other conditions with autism. Another one that I didn't mention was epilepsy. So
interesting.
Yeah. So all of these have got just a higher instance, and I don't think we know why.
I didn't know that.
Do we even know what autism is yet?
Not really. Wow. We don't really know what causes it.
Like, what is it?
Yeah, so that's literally the next heading that I have here literally says, nobody knows what causes autism, or if it has a cause.
Brilliant.
Yeah, great. It can affect people in the same family. Sometimes it can be passed on to a child by their parents.
So it has a genetic factor then?
Yeah, so we don't actually have a strict genetic basis for it. Yeah. We know that it kind of runs in families sometimes, but not exactly the way that we would expect everything else.
Yeah.
So I suppose, like, so one of the things that's like a big part of the conversation around autism and vaccines is that when people are saying vaccines cause autism, which is scientifically, I assume, disproven.
Rubbish, completely.
Right.
That's correct.
The thing inherent in that argument is that you're saying autism is necessarily a negative thing, whereas it's just a different way of being. And actually, there are some incredible things that have come out of people who are autistic, and are in big part because of the way that their brain thinks differently to other people. For example, the invention of the computer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Greta Thunberg, for example, who is clearly thinking in a much more logical, much more direct, here is an issue, why are you not doing something about it? Which is sort of typical. Yeah. Now, I guess the only thing that I would say about that, which I've learned in this podcast so far, is that it's not entirely without merit to say that the experience of the average autistic person in life, if it has a high crossover with depression and OCD and epilepsy, is on average going to be a harder life than a neurotypical person. Would that be fair to say?
I mean, it can. So the life of an autistic person can be harder, as in you can require
and also support. Societal, yes.
Yeah, you can require support or more support. But ultimately, it doesn't mean that you can't live a full life. It's not like, it's not a severe learning disability where you need to be cared for your whole life entirely. You could just have some difficulties with certain things.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of people are autistic and they don't necessarily know
it.
Someone I've known for quite a while just recently was diagnosed as an adult with autism.
Whoa.
And it's not really affected her life too much.
I didn't know you could get diagnosed as an adult.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's the thing. It's seen as a boy's disorder. It's seen as a young boy's disorder. Yeah. A lot like ADHD.
Same with ADHD. Yeah,
because that also links in with autism a lot as well. A lot of autistic people have ADHD.
That's the thing with my brother. He was diagnosed so late that it took him even longer to get a diagnosis because he didn't get it really young. It was like kind of after the 8 year old. Kind of mark where he started, where his like the signs started to come through and stuff.
That's the thing. I'm going to bring this up a little bit later on, but actually the kind of characterizing autism and diagnosing it to an effect has been really poorly done. So back even 20 years ago, we were really bad at diagnosing it. In fact, we didn't really know that girls could be autistic for a while. I'm fairly sure.
Really?
Because we were looking for the same symptoms that we looked for in boys, when it turns out that autistic girls tend to be more social.
Different symptoms,
Quieter in a different way than boys.
Yeah, I have a female friend who was diagnosed, who is autistic, but I had no idea until she told me, because it wasn't the typical presenting symptoms.
Well, exactly. Really? I think it's probably, some of that could be down to the fact that boys and girls are socialized entirely differently.
Yeah, and she's learned to sort of not appear like there's something different about her.
And I mean, girls are basically forced to be, they're forced to be, you know, care for other people's emotions. And be very conscious of that. Whereas boys are like, do your own thing. You don't need to care about anyone else's emotions from a young age. So that could obviously have an effect on it. Some things that autism isn't caused by, this is from the NHS, bad parenting, diet, an infection you could spread to other people, and vaccines, such as the MMR vaccine. Yay.
Just to confirm, it's none of those.
I'm now going to be unable to say that ever again on the podcast. I will take a stand and say I'm not going to do that anymore, because it was a joke, because it's so clearly wrong, but now I'll stop.
I genuinely think it would be a really funny, like, I mean, okay, if it wasn't offensive to say autistic people, but it could be a really funny joke if it wasn't so real, so many people actually believed it.
Yeah, right.
Completely baselessly. Because that's something that I tweeted the other day looking for papers or something, some kind of evidence that backed this up even a little bit. Because I want to be really fair on this. Because the idea behind this, I want someone to come into this and listen to this and be able to go from thinking that vaccines cause autism to seeing that they don't.
Yeah. Sure.
I can't find any papers remotely supporting that.
What is the central, in the original paper where it was suggested there's a causal link between vaccines and autism, what was that predicated on? What was the evidence that he supposedly had?
I have a whole section on this.
Okay.
But briefly?
Well, we'll just do it later. We'll just do it later.
Briefly, nothing. But I've got a whole section.
What?
Yeah.
What a weird scientist.
What?
So just to give you guys an idea of the history of autism, because obviously it's a fairly new kind of discovery that we've made.
Yeah.
The concept was coined in 1911 by a German psychiatrist, Eugen Bleuler.
Good.
Bleuler.
Good try there, Corey.
That's actually how you pronounce it. I speak a little bit of German.
Well, then it was a good try. It was a successful
Duolingo's
try.
Eugen Bleuler. And effectively, he used it to describe symptoms of schizophrenia, which he'd also invented himself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let him go.
He invented a few things, didn't he?
According to him, autistic thinking was characterized by infantile wishes to avoid unsatisfying realities and replace them with fantasies and hallucinations.
Oh.
Hallucinations. So it basically defined that...
To be fair, I would love to avoid reality and replace it with lovely hallucinations.
That sounds lovely, doesn't it?
That's the thing. In the 1960s, up to the 1970s, that completely switched. So the definition of autism changed.
Right.
About 50 years ago.
It was a different thing.
What's it now defined as?
Autism.
In the 1960s and 70s, it was then defined as someone who fantasized. It changed from someone who fantasized excessively to someone who didn't fantasize at all.
What?
So it's the opposite. It's the opposite thing.
Literally the exact opposite.
Right.
So the reason that I find this important to bring up is that when you talk about the rise in autism, it's completely changed in its definition. Mm. And we've gotten much better at understanding what it is, because I don't think even this description of someone who doesn't fantasize at all remotely describes autism. But that's what we were using in the 60s and 70s.
I mean, that would maybe be a symptom if you had an incredibly logical brain, that you were just focused on exactly what was in front of you and didn't see the point in... But I'm just guessing from the few autistic people I've known.
I think that's basically what it's trying to say. That socially your brain works slightly differently, like in a more logical way, rather than taking into account social cues from other people. But then again,
you don't see the point.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then again, I'm not going to pretend that I fully understand autism. I'm running this basically off of what I've read for the past few months.
Yeah,
because that's how long I've been reading about this. Because that's how important this is.
Yeah.
So yeah, the definition of autism has changed in the past 50, 60 years to mean something completely different. So saying that autism has risen is true, but also
because autism changed. More people have autism. It's a different thing now.
Yeah,
sure.
It's actually, this is something that's slightly related, but not quite. People have been saying that LGBT hate crimes have risen, but they're also saying that reporting of those hate crimes has risen. Right. One of those things cannot be true.
Sure.
So yeah. If you're reporting more, you're also going to see more. Yeah. And the same thing happens with autism. If we're getting better at reporting who's autistic, we're going to see more autistic people obviously. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So on to Andrew Wakefield, who is the doctor that started this whole anti-vax thing.
Yeah.
He's a former British doctor and researcher who, like I said, birthed the anti-vaccination movement, but has since been discredited and lost his medical license.
Whoa! Yeah, so he's not a doctor anymore.
Oh, absolutely not. So or I'd be calling him Dr. Andrew Wakefield.
Okay.
Not at all. Wow. Definitely not a doctor anymore.
What's like the central body of authority for who's a doctor? Doctor Who?
Yeah, who decides?
The GMC had a meeting on this, had a hearing. So it might be the GMC. To be honest, I'm not too sure.
Okay.
Who decides who's a doctor and who isn't? NHS, maybe? Who knows? Could be anyone's. So he got his medical degree in 1985, and he trained as a gastrointestinal surgeon. And he particularly focused on inflammatory bowel disease. Mm. Like I said, his license was revoked. That was in 2010. And it was the General Medical Council. They found him guilty of dishonesty, the abuse of developmentally delayed children by giving them unnecessary and invasive medical procedures, and acting without ethical approval for his research. Basically, three big no-nos.
I think you could apply those rulings to the Little Albert experiment as well.
Probably.
Yeah, you probably could. To be fair,
I reckon they were probably dead.
The Little Albert experiment was good.
No,
definitely not. Wakefield claimed that he was approached by parents of an autistic child with stomach issues. He then encountered other families in a similar position who claimed that their child first showed signs of the developmental issues after their MMR vaccine. Now, the MMR vaccine, just briefly, is for measles, mumps, and rubella. It used to be three separate injections, but around about, I think it was 1980s, they switched to a 3-in-1. Mm. Some of those had bad side effects or side effects that we didn't really want. So we removed two of them, as in two types of the 3-in-1 MMR. Mm. But we still got one type of the 3-in-1 MMR.
And I will have had it, and you'll have had it.
We all should have had it. I don't know about you, because you're Australian, but
I don't know what we got.
Actually, you would have done, because the Australians are having their own MMR issue right now.
Into the bush and told to play with the animals.
To be honest, in school, we were taking, for our vaccines, we got like four in a day.
Yeah.
They just gave us everything. Okay.
So you should have had it. Australia's having their own issue with vaccinations right now.
Yeah.
We almost certainly would have had it.
I have got it, yes.
Or we'd have had measles, mumps, and rubella. Now, measles is really bad. Gives you all these awful spots. You can go deaf from it. You can die. You can end up getting pneumonia. You can have your brain swell, which is encephalitis, I believe. Horrible things happen with these diseases. One shot, you're good.
For life.
Yeah. That's nice, isn't it?
That's good.
That's pretty good. Andrew Wakefield didn't like that, obviously.
Why not?
Yeah, so Wakefield then published a paper in 1998 with 12 co-authors. He published it in The Lancet, which is a fairly well-respected journal. And he proposed a link between the MMR jab, autism, and bowel disease. He had 12 patients in this study. 12. You should be shocked right now.
Not a
That's
lot.
A disastrous, sure, yeah. disastrously honestly, low
I'm,
number.
I'm not shocked at this point. Little Albert had one.
Yeah, but you cannot draw any conclusions from 12 children.
Oh, of course not.
There were no real experimental protocols. It wasn't well, you know.
Go get 1,200 children.
Yeah, exactly. More than that, even, to be honest. Yeah. 1,200 is still a low still sample size.
12,000.
So after he published the paper, he went to a press conference for the paper's release. And he called for a return to the three single jabs. So to get rid of the MMR vaccine and just have them all individually. And after that, vaccination rates for the MMR vaccine collapsed. from above 90% to 79% by January 2003.
God.
Yep. 2006, a 13-year-old boy from Manchester became the first UK death from measles for 14 years.
Oh my God.
And that year, England and Wales, there were more than 450 measles cases, the highest level for 20 years.
Oh. This guy's actually responsible for children dying.
Oh, 100%. And in 2013, an outbreak in South Wales infected more than 1,000 people, which led to the emergency distribution of 50,000 MMR vaccines to prevent the disease from spreading.
I'm so confused as to why the Lancet, if this is such a...
They repealed it. They absolutely revoked that paper.
Oh, but why did they publish it with a 12-person study?
Sometimes you see small studies being published. It's okay. Difficult to... So if you're starting off with some kind of hypothesis, you might do a small-scale study because you can't exactly have the funds to say...
But you don't expect people to change their... raising of their children based on your small study.
Yeah. You 100% would not expect anyone to come out and say, I have discovered the link between vaccines and autism based on a study with 12 people. You would say, this needs further research. Let's do a larger scale study before we say anything.
Is there any indication of what his, like, why?
Oh, money.
Oh, money.
Yes.
From who? Like, from the people who made this individual MMR vaccines?
Let's get on to...
Were these 3-in-1s putting him out of business or something?
No, I don't think so. He was a bowel man. You know, he was not
a bowel man.
Right. He was not at all related to vaccinations. So why it's wrong, as in why the paper is wrong.
Sure.
As I've said, small sample size. The design was completely uncontrolled and the conclusions were speculative at best, by which I mean they saw something and they decided to draw a conclusion.
That's
from it,
it.
Rather than ruling out everything else.
How did they conduct the study? Were they like, did they give people the MMR vaccine and then see if they got autism?
No, I think the kids had already had the MMR. That's the issue.
So what? How do you possibly define a cause-effect relationship if you're not controlling the injection?
Well, parents came to him saying that their kids showed signs of autism. I think some of them wanted to have a court case. And they spoke to him about, you know, kind of proving that they'd been negatively affected by the vaccine.
Sure.
And then he took some of those kids and some other kids and did a study.
Right.
Those are two separate things. That's a conflict of interest, wherein he's being paid by some parents and using those kids in a study to prove something.
And the parents are looking for a payout as well.
Well, exactly. So he didn't disclose that conflict of interest at all when he submitted the paper. And furthermore, Brian Deer, who was a journalist, found out that not one of the 12 cases reported in the 1998 Lancet paper was free from misrepresentation or undisclosed alteration, which effectively means he messed with the results for every single kid or willfully misinterpreted them, which is an issue that you see all the time nowadays with science being brought to the public. You'll see someone say, oh, we found a way to cure cancer in mice, or eating beef is actually really good for you.
I remember
bit of it a day.
You see that in the news like every few months. It's always like, we found a new cure for cancer. And you actually click on the article and it's like...
in mice.
We cured it in this tiny animal.
Yeah. In vitro. We only did it in a test tube. This is the issue with science nowadays, that people willfully misinterpret information and give it to the public who don't have any way of denouncing that or saying that it's not true.
Yeah, I think this is the thing that if there is anybody listening who believes that vaccines cause autism... I think so much of the public discourse on this is that they're stupid or that they're selfish or like things like that. But really, these are people that, I mean, I'm definitely being oversympathetic here, but for a purpose, like they just want to protect their kids and they don't want their kids to get something that the world perceives to be a learning difficulty. And they also probably don't want to go through parenting an autistic child, which I'm sure is difficult. And I know all that stuff is selfish when you think of it on the collective whole, but then it's not coming from an evil place. And I think if we're ever going to get these people on side, we have to think about them as parents looking out for their children and feeling protective, and they're not sure what to trust.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily have loads of science or the ability to do a study, and they're not really that trusting of what the government tells them anyway.
They don't know what trustworthy information is.
Exactly.
There's a whole section on this later on. I really delved deep. I looked for one of my friend's parents is a hardcore anti-vaxxer, and I went to that family to try and get an understanding of where they were getting their information from. So I've got a whole bit on this later on. So if you're a hardcore anti-vaxxer, I really, really implore you, listen right the way through to the end of this, because while I disagree with you, I fully understand why you're coming from, where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to give you what I see as the truth.
Yeah.
And also, just a disclaimer for anyone that was listening. Luke, when he said that parenting an autistic child must be difficult, I'm sure you mean for people that are ill-equipped or feel like they're ill-equipped rather than...
Sure. I just mean that our society is not set up for people with autism. Our society is set up for neurotypical people.
Yeah.
And so bringing somebody into the world who is not neurotypical is always going to be more difficult than bringing someone who's neurotypical into the world on average.
Oh, no, absolutely. I
didn't realize that sounded like an offensive thing to say.
I know that's what you meant. I just want to be
very
careful.
Sure.
As I was saying, this paper was bad. The reporter, Brian Deere, found a lot of issues with it. He even spoke to one of the parents of one of the boys in the study who said that the data appeared to be distorted. That's what the father said. The data appeared to be distorted. A father of one of the kids in the study. Perfect. The Daily Mail.
Not even a scientist.
No.
It's like,
did all of the kids, all the 12 kids, actually then have verifiable autism?
Well, the thing is, it's very difficult to find this original paper. I've seen secondhand sources. I've looked at parts of it, but ultimately, I think it was a case that they all had autism, and they were trying to prove that. It was because of the vaccine.
Yeah.
And this is also, is this in America or in the UK?
I think this was in the UK.
Okay, interesting.
Because the Daily Mail picked this up and ran with it. We love the Daily Mail here, don't we, guys?
God's sake.
And that's still affecting us nowadays.
Mm.
In Australia, in the UK, in the US.
Yeah.
This one guy who decided to just say whatever he wanted is affecting us now. It was carried out on 12 children who were referred to a hospital for gastrointestinal issues.
So they weren't even referred for their autism?
No.
No. So the thing is, they might not even had autism. It was just a link between the vaccine, autism, and gastrointestinal problems. Ultimately, it's a terrible experiment.
Yeah.
A child could come up with a better experimental process.
Yeah.
Because you can't just pick 12 kids and be like, okay, this is...
They all seem kind of autistic and they've had the vaccines.
Makes sense.
Let's draw a link there.
Utterly ridiculous. At the same time, he was paid to carry out another study to find out if parents who claimed their children were damaged by the MMR vaccine had a case. Like I said, he was being paid simultaneously to run another study with an overlapping group of children, which he didn't disclose at all.
Of course he didn't.
Yeah, so The Lancet would have rejected this paper had they known this. So the whole thing with peer reviewing is when you submit a paper, you've got a little section at the end where you can disclose any conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing. It's fantastic because it means that, okay, well, I know that this person is you know, say, produced a paper that could really boost the sales for GSK.
Yeah.
But they also are paid by GSK. Okay, so I know that maybe I shouldn't trust that fully.
Yeah.
But this guy just went ahead and didn't do that.
Did it anyway.
Wakefield himself suggested that parents should just go for the single jabs. As in, said to parents, not just trying to say to, you know, the governing bodies. Was very much encouraging parents to opt to have single jabs.
That's really interesting as well, because I think an interesting point that maybe has been missed in the whole vaccines cause autism idea is that it's not even, like, even if you believe this study, right? This study is saying that the specific 3-in-1 MMR vaccine causes autism. Now, that is not true, but... It's not even, people just say vaccines cause autism as if every single time you inject any kind of bacteria into the body in order to strengthen the immune system, you get autism.
You get autism.
There's a reason behind that. This was very difficult to do. I found 5 somewhat scientific reasons that people believe that vaccines cause autism.
Sure.
I'll talk about those a little bit later. I just want to talk about the papers that actually disprove this paper right now, because I feel like it's very important to get that out of the way quickly. There are a lot of papers that completely disprove this 1998 paper. So many. There are links in the description. I cannot go through them all right now. I'm going to go through one that was done this year in Denmark with 650,000 Danish children.
That's more than 12.
It's a little bit more than 12.
50,000.
Yeah, so this was a cohort study, which is basically just studying a whole bunch of kids at once. Whoa. So this very much confirms that the MMR vaccine doesn't cause autism. With beyond a shadow of a doubt, it shows that. So in this study, researchers followed up on 650,000 Danish kids until they were an average of about 8 years old, and 1% of them developed autism, which is what we would have expected. Most children in the study had the MMR vaccine, There was no difference in the rates of autism between those who'd been vaccinated and those who were not vaccinated.
Wow, yay. Yep.
As you would expect.
There was also no link between the MMR vaccine when looking at children who may be at a higher risk of autism, like those who have a sibling with autism. So even if you're at high risk, MMR vaccine doesn't trigger it. In some cases, right. Say for schizophrenia, smoking weed, yes, can trigger schizophrenia.
Sure.
That's not the case for this at all. Nothing like that. MMR vaccine doesn't trigger anything.
Doesn't trigger at all.
Except for an immune response to measles, mumps, and rubella.
The thing it was designed to do.
Exactly.
Good. Now, the thing is, though, I don't think when people think that vaccines cause autism, they're talking from the side of their brain that deals with proof, evidence, and logic.
Yeah.
And so, like, as much as I respect that study, and I respect that you brought it and you conclude that that proves that the original study is incorrect and the belief is incorrect, that isn't where it's coming from. And, like, I don't know how to cure that. Like, that's an interesting one to deal with, isn't it? It's like, because there's so much that goes into the belief that vaccines cause autism, like that you just don't trust medicine and you don't trust doctors and you don't trust scientists and you don't trust the government and you don't trust any authority. And like the solution to that is not for authority to keep telling you you're wrong.
So this is the thing. Like I said, I tweeted about this because I wanted to be fair. I wanted to find any source I could that linked vaccines to autism.
Mm.
I found one research paper, Andrew Wakefield's.
Yeah.
Bogus, right. As I'm sure we can all agree. And then I found a lot of blogs. I was told to look at keynote speakers. I couldn't find any actual paper.
Mm.
One of the blogs I found was actually really, really helpful. I've linked it in the description. It's basically not actually a blog post that I was looking at. I was looking at the comments on this blog post, which was the best place for me to find out what's actually going on in anti-vaxxers' heads. And I discovered that... I feel really, maybe this was a stupid of me, but it's just a conspiracy.
Yeah.
A full-on conspiracy. It's not based on any kind of evidence or anything that is disputed, like you can dispute. It's purely based on...
It's a conspiracy that's rooted itself in a parent's instinct to protect their child.
Well, when you're a parent, that's more important than anything.
And so in order to disprove that conspiracy, you've got to overcome a parent's instinct.
Yeah.
The big thing is that they talk about Big Pharma. So the issue here is that Big Pharma stands to make money off of these vaccinations. Therefore, they're hiding all of the truth, all of the facts to actually show that vaccines cause autism and cause all of these side effects.
Mm.
And the thing is, there is absolutely no way to argue against this. And I'm not saying that there's no way to argue against it in that, oh man, anti-vaxxers are right. Big Pharma is tricking all of us. I'm saying there's no way to argue against it in that you have set up a situation wherein the only option you can choose is to be an anti-vaxxer because it disregards logic. Mm. It's like if I were to say to you, hey guys, actually the world that we live in isn't real and everyone that tells you it is, is just trying to keep you in the illusion.
Yeah. I've done this. Yeah. I've done the kind of going a little bit off the rails and believing, not specifically the anti-vax stuff, but like I've done the thinking everyone's not real and they're all out to get me and they all are like messing with me and stuff. And it is impossible to get out, someone else to get you out of it. It's a horrible place to be. The thing is about it though is like, I think firstly, Big Pharma would make more money off 3 separate vaccines.
Yeah.
Just to start on that, I think they would make more money if they were giving you 3 vaccinations for 3 separate things.
I mean, exactly.
And it would have been leaked by now if this were true. Like, I think we need to start from the point of like going, rather than going, these people are stupid, because obviously, I mean, from our perspective as people who are thinking with scientific evidence and believe our government and believe scientists, then they are saying something stupid. But from the perspective of like their world, where they're just scared, man. Like, that's all it is. They're just scared.
I don't think anti-vaxxers are stupid. I know some really intelligent people that are anti-vaxxers.
Sure.
And I think the issue is that you set up a scenario in which you have no other option. Although, like you said, Big Pharma stands to make more money from 3 separate...
Well, I don't necessarily know that's true, but...
Well, it makes sense. If you're being paid for 3 different things, it makes...
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe, but also if you combine them into one product, maybe you can charge more for the product.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, but then there's also the issue of why that makes sense, right? Okay, I could fully understand a government basically, in order to make money, just sacrificing its population.
Hmm.
However, I would expect that if you were to see that, you would see a higher instance in black people or women or people who have historically been just like left behind by government. But actually, if you look at autism, it's far more prevalent in white men.
Right.
White men are the people that run the governments. Why would they, if you think about it, why would Big Pharma, who is run by white men,
be screwing over white men?
Yeah.
It's
unless there was some kind of correlation between people who are born into poverty with autism. I don't think there is. But you got to look at the... But again, this is the point, is like...
You still see it higher in logical, black people because more people in black, more black people are in poverty.
But more logical arguments aren't going to fix this problem. But
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you disregard whether you believe Big Pharma is controlling things, because to an extent, Big Pharma does exist and is controlling some things, holding some things back.
Sure.
But this kind of large scale, just giving kids a developmental condition.
Hmm.
If you think about conspiracy theories, you've got to think about what is the point, who stands to gain?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, another big thing is it affecting rich people? Do rich people get autism? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like rich people can be autistic. Therefore, it's probably not really true that people are, you know, that the rich people that are in control are giving people autism if they've got it themselves.
Yeah.
And sure, you can cartwheel, you could backflip, you could do any kind of mental gymnastics to get out of this, but ultimately, it kind of falls apart when you think about it with any semblance of logic.
Mm-hmm.
There is no real point to give kids autism just to make money from vaccines, especially since autism isn't something that you can make money off of treating. It's something that drains. Mm. It would drain money from any health
service. School systems and health systems, yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, I would fully, like, this is, we spoke about this before with, we talked about this before in our first episode where you could treat gastrointestinal disorders, ulcers, stomach ulcers with antibiotics.
Yeah, that's it.
That it was a case where people were trying to hold back the actual, you know, cure for it. However, you're not making money off of autism.
And that's also, that's like years ago. And these days we have the internet and we have whistleblowers and we have leaks and we have an awful lot of stuff, which means that if something shady is going on, it will generally work its way to the surface.
There are some whistleblowers. There are some that people are believing.
No,
but there are some that people are believing. But ultimately, if you look into those, they're not quite as
credible.
They're not quite as credible. I think if you want to believe a whistleblower, you can basically believe any whistleblower that you want. But if you think about it critically, more people would be coming forward about this than just a few. Yeah. And there wouldn't be so many massive studies.
You would think it would be like all the parents that work for Big Pharma would come forward.
Yeah. I mean, because it's still affecting every kid. I mean, ultimately, you would find someone that would leak that in fact, anyone that is involved in Big Pharma doesn't get their kids vaccinated. But that's not really happening.
No.
And I'll put my hands up and say, if it is true that vaccines cause autism, fine. Autism isn't that bad. Get over yourself. Stop being rude to autistic people.
Sure.
That's the thing, because I've read awful things in these these blog posts and these comments where people were saying that their vaccinations ruined their kid. I'm like, your kid is just autistic, man. Be nice. Why would you say that to your kid's face?
Yeah,
that's an awful thing to say. Your child could have died of pneumonia or their brain swelling, but instead have a bit of autism.
If there is a link, I'd rather my kid be autistic than, you know, dead.
Exactly. 100%. So I'm going to move on to why people think that vaccines cause autism. The actual, I've got like five key reasons why people think that.
Oh, okay, right. I think we've touched on it, but...
We've touched on it, but I've got the five key kind of like...
Right.
So that's the Big Pharma kind of conspiracy element.
These are the conspiracies, basically. Kind
of evidence-based.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to run through them, and I'm going to debunk all of them once I've run through them all. So vaccines can contain dangerous molecules like aluminium, mercury, and formaldehyde. That's all true.
Right.
They can contain those. People notice that after vaccines, children tend to start showing signs of autism when beforehand they were developing along normally or, you know,
neurotypically.
Right. Autism seems to increase along with the use of vaccinations. Parents have expressed concerns after children take a bad reaction to vaccines, like severe reactions. And vaccines have been said to cause miniature strokes in the small blood vessels in the brain, which has been said to cause autism. Now, to go through all of these really quickly.
Sure. Hit us.
Number one, the dangerous molecules.
The first one got me.
The first one got you. This is a good one. I love this one. This is my favorite one. The first one, dangerous molecules in vaccines. The molecules aren't actually that dangerous. So aluminium, yes, it is dangerous. It causes irritation to your body.
Yeah.
That's the point. When you've got a vaccine, when you've got a vaccine that has a dead virus or bacteria in it, you need to stimulate the immune system some way. A little bit of aluminium.
So the aluminium is there deliberately.
Oh, deliberately. Yeah.
Wow.
100%.
Yeah. But the thing is, they don't need it to actually be dangerous. They just need it to sound dangerous. Like, it's got aluminium. It's got mercury, all these dangerous sounding things.
So, I mean, the aluminium, it causes an immune response. It's it is said to scare you.
It's like me saying, you should stop eating apples because they contain hydrogen dioxide. Hydrogen dioxide is water.
Water, yeah. But apples...
you can make it sound really dangerous.
You can make anything sound scary when you, don't consider it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I mean, on that, apples contain cyanide.
That's true, yeah.
But you'd have to eat a lot of apples for it to kill you. So you shouldn't be scared of eating apples.
Yeah.
So yeah, the aluminium just makes your body think it's a more serious infection and actually gets an immune response. Sometimes it can cause redness, itching, and low-grade fever, but that's to be expected with vaccines. It's not something that's actually going to harm your child, really. It's not actually been associated with serious adverse events at all, really, the use of aluminium. Mercury. I'm sure you know about mercury. You know what mercury poisoning is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Big old bad one, right? So why would you be putting mercury into your children's bodies? Number one, we're not doing that anymore. In fact, really, the only vaccines that have mercury in them right now are flu shots, which are sometimes given to infants, but there's basically...
Mostly to old people.
Old people. But I'm saying they're sometimes given to infants.
Sure.
But they're mostly given to old people, yeah. Or people that are, more at risk of...
Yeah.
Basically dying from
like
flu.
Nurses as well, I think.
Yeah. So we do have a little bit of mercury in some of those, but ultimately we more or less removed mercury from America.
Was that something
especially.
More in like the original vaccinations you'd find more?
Well, yes, but recently, a little while ago they removed mercury from pretty much everything given to infants because they wanted to remove any chance of infants being, being given any kind of mercury. However, the mercury that was in vaccines, not dangerous.
Yeah.
not at all. It's not mercury, as you're thinking. It's actually in a compound called thimerosal.
Oh.
Which is not dangerous. It's just to stop fungus from growing. It's a preservative.
Good.
Yeah.
So you can't even get mercury poisoning from it?
There are two different compounds that contain mercury, ethyl mercury and methyl mercury. Low levels of ethyl mercury in vaccines are broken down by the body differently and clear out of the blood more quickly than methyl mercury, which is what causes mercury poisoning.
Right, okay.
Usually. That's,
so it's not dangerous.
It's not the dangerous mercury. It's the safe one. That's like saying...
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
It's like saying apples contain hydrogen dioxide.
Exactly. I mean, you can slip on ice and die. That doesn't mean you can't have ice in your drink. It's not 100% dangerous all the time. So, as I said, there's also formaldehyde in vaccines. You guys...
That's a preservative, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So, I mean, you guys should be pretty worried because you've probably got a little bit of formaldehyde in you right now.
Oh,
right?
No.
Because your body naturally produces formaldehyde.
Oh!
And in fact...
Oh, no. I'm going to get autism.
Yeah, and in fact, the formaldehyde that's used in vaccines, it's used in such small amounts that it's less than what your body naturally produces.
Fantastic.
So very small amounts of residual formaldehyde, which is used in vaccines as a preservative, can be present in vaccines, but are way below the values that are harmful to humans. And actually, your body can just clear it very similarly to how it clears the natural formaldehyde. So it's not dangerous at all. If you're worried about any dangerous components in vaccines, people would be dying at a much higher rate.
But I think this, what you're doing here, is really helpful because it goes, hey, you've heard this thing. You're right about this thing, but the levels are lower than is safe, than is unsafe. Or, there is formaldehyde in it, but there's also some in you already. So it's like, you're not wrong for having worried about it, but it's just not at a level that you need to be worried about.
It's disinformation.
Yeah. Sure.
It's, and not misinformation, specifically disinformation that people are spreading to make people unaware of the actual dangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people will get annoyed at me for trying to be empathetic towards anti-vaxxers, but ultimately I'm doing that because the only way to make someone come on your side is to not make them think they're stupid.
I 100% believed that throughout this entire episode, you would be on the side of anti-vaxxers, as in being empathetic towards them.
Sure.
Because you need someone to do that.
Yeah, it's not from any perspective of wanting to be like, this is an acceptable thing, or you aren't like damaging society by having propagated this myth. But it's just because the only way to be effective is to just be like, look, man, you made a mistake. It's understandable why you made the mistake. Let's just fix the mistake and carry on and not treat you like you're an idiot forever.
I think anyone that outright dismisses the fears that anti-vaxxers have is more of an idiot than anyone that believes them.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you disagree with it without looking into it, then
yeah.
at least anti-vaxxers have looked into it. Yeah. Yes, they've been given incorrect information,
yeah,
but they've done a bit of research.
And also, believing that vaccines don't cause autism does not make you intelligent. That is like you didn't discover that,
yeah.
And you are privileged to have been in a position where you trust your government and you trust science and you trust everything. And like, well done for being like,
yeah.
it's not impressive to have, you that's just the standard.
Well, you don't get a gold star for it. The thing is, I can understand where it comes from, this kind of mistrust for the government and for Big Pharma. But ultimately, if you live your life like that, if you think that you're constantly living in a simulation or in a fake world, where does that end? Who can
Nowhere.
You trust? What
no
is
one.
The point? What was the point of anything? I mean, you can clearly see, in front of you that like vaccines aren't causing autism in a lot of people, apart from some people that you know. So by wanting to believe that Big Pharma is out to get you, you're not going to be able to go anywhere.
But I think it's because many people draw a lot of their identity from the people who are trying to screw them over. They draw a lot of identity from being like, we're fighting this big evil thing, or like, I'm a victim of this thing. And in order to accept that maybe you weren't being fought by that thing, it's like a death. Like, you have to let this part of you that you've based so much of your life on die.
Mm.
And that's a horrible thing. And the thing that's speaking when they say this stuff is not really them. It's the part of them that doesn't want to die that goes, if I accept that vaccines are actually safe, then I've been wrong for a very long time,
yeah.
And I'm very silly, and it's easier to just keep on going.
And then especially if you're in a community of people that also believe that,
yeah.
Then you're like pushing yourself away from them. Well, or they'll push them away, you away from them.
As we've said many times on this podcast, being wrong is okay and it's fine. And that's the point. Just let yourself be wrong and grow from it, please. Because pretending like you're not wrong is much more damaging than putting your hands up and saying you've made a mistake.
Yeah.
The second point that I made was autism developing after people had been given vaccines, which is true. You can show signs of autism after you've been given a vaccine.
Because you've been given vaccines very young.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're given vaccines very young. And also, there is, like, people will say, that their kid develops normally up to about 1, 2, or 3 years old and then starts to show signs of autism, which is how autism works. That literally just happens regardless of whether you've been given a vaccine or not. Autism can show up when someone is about 3 years old. And before that, they're not showing signs of autism, but then afterwards they are. Now, the issue here is confirmation bias. This is something that you should look into yourselves, but effectively, if you have an idea in your head, humans are very good at looking at patterns.
You know,
and
the signs
patterns
to look out for to confirm it.
Yeah. So if you've got an idea in your head, you'll pick up on patterns that aren't necessarily there. So your kid starts to show signs of autism and you're like, well, what could have happened? Why is my child now autistic when they weren't before? You remember that they had a vaccination a few months ago. It must have been that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that doesn't necessarily add up. And that's a
You're
big
also
issue.
Just more on heightened alert once, even if you don't know the stuff about vaccines and autism, you're on higher alert when your kid has gone to the doctor and had something injected into it. You're then going to be like, okay, I'm going to monitor to see if it gets ill, to see if it needs care, to see if there's any behavioral change, because that's you're being a good parent in that sense. You're monitoring your child, and then you're just for some reason making this jump.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of this has come from blog post comments, and I just want to say that a lot of parents have noticed that after vaccinations, their child shows signs of autism. And I just want to make it abundantly clear that that is how it would have worked anyway.
Yeah.
Children can show signs of autism later in development and appear to regress, and I say that with air quotes, regress developmentally, but that's just how autism shows itself, regardless of vaccines. So you are right.
As they're growing up.
Your child has regressed, for want of a better word, after they've been given their vaccination. But there's those two things are not linked. Yeah. Not at all. And that brings us on to our next point, which is autism seems to have increased along with increased use of vaccinations. Now, this is correlation versus causation.
Yeah.
Those two things do not mean the same thing at all. In fact, in lieu of actually giving any evidence for this, I thought it'd be much better to have a visual aid, which hopefully Jamp can put on screen for us.
If you're on YouTube, if you're subscribed to youtube.com/SciGuys.
Oh, there you go. And if not, I do have, I'll have a link to it in the description.
Yeah.
I just want you guys to have a look through this. Now, this is a lovely website,
which shows you
The correlation between different things. So, do you want, maybe read out one of your favorite ones? Tell people why, for instance, they shouldn't.
So, this is great. First one, number of people who drowned by falling into a pool correlates with films Nicolas Cage has appeared in.
So what that means, guys, is that we should stop letting Nicolas Cage appear in films. Otherwise, people can drown in pools.
More people are drowning in pools, the more films he's in.
The point being that if you have like loads of different data sets, some of them will just happen to link up, and you can supposedly form a causal link between those.
Yeah.
Like, for example, as we increase number of vaccines and also increase LGBT acceptance, you can form a causal link between vaccines making people gay. It doesn't mean that vaccines make people gay.
Yeah, yeah. See, the thing is that, Jamp, if you want to read one out, tell people why they shouldn't, for instance.
All right, well, this next one is per capita cheese consumption correlates with number of people who died by becoming tangled in their bed sheets.
Hey, so, guys, I believe that because cheese makes you have bad dreams.
That's true. So
those are quite close, to be fair.
Like I said, humans are good at coming up with patterns.
Divorce rate in Maine correlates with per capita consumption of margarine.
That is weirdly similar.
If people eat less margarine, then people won't get divorced in Maine. That's the key point.
It's not just that these correlate.
Margarine is over party. Each other. The thing is that, like I've said, humans are very good at finding patterns. If you have enough data sets for anything, we have data sets for pretty much everything in the world because we're very good at collecting.
Yeah. And how many different things can a line do, really?
So much. I mean, two lines can match up very easily. There's not very many ways that things can go.
Hey, did you know that vaccines cause the Earth's population to increase?
There you go.
As we've increased the Earth's population, we've also increased how many vaccinations we get.
Well, that's true.
There's more people.
Because they help people stop dying of preventable disease.
I mean, one of my favorite ones here, I'm just going to read out one of my favorites. It's a reason why people in Kentucky should not be getting married.
Why not?
Because as marriage rates in Kentucky have gone down, so have the number of people that have drowned after falling out of a fishing boat. So if you're in Kentucky, just please don't get married. For the love of God, don't get married. I don't want anyone to drown on a fishing boat.
Think of the fisherman.
Exactly. Yeah.
Stop getting married. For
what
the
if
love
a
of God.
Fisherman gets married? Does he
double
die?
He's super dry.
That's known as a suicide.
But that's the point. I've got a link to this. It's spurious correlations. Effectively, almost anything can correlate with anything if you look at the right data sets.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they cause each other. Now, I know what you're thinking. If you fully believe that vaccines and autism are linked, that the rise in vaccines has caused a rise in autism, think maybe for a second that those two things maybe do correlate with something else. The rise in vaccines and the rise in autism both show a rise in, you know, medicine, as in how good we are at medicine. We've become much better at characterizing autism, and therefore autism rates have seemed to increase when in fact we're just much better at finding out who is autistic and who isn't.
Yeah.
Vaccinations have gone up because, hey, we're getting really good at getting vaccinations out. And both of those rise with medical technology and medical achievements. So, of course, they're going to go up together. That doesn't mean that the vaccines that you're giving people have been causing autism.
Are directly
it just
means causing the autism. Yeah.
They're both linked to people being better at doing medicine.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, wow.
So, again, you are right. Vaccines and autism have gone up together. but not for the reason that you think. That's the issue. A lot of these...
They're not causing each other. They're just hand in hand.
Yeah, that's where I think a lot of these issues with anti-vaxxers listening to this rhetoric can really get stuck into it. Because it does sound really good on the surface. It sounds correct on the surface. And if you look at it in the right way, it does seem correct. But actually, there's a lot more information. You're just looking at the tip of the iceberg. And when you really, really look at it, it doesn't hold up.
I really like those graphs. They were so good.
They're great. I love them, honestly. The next one is a lot of parents have expressed concerns after their child takes a bad reaction to vaccines. Now, what that means is a severe reaction. So, like I said, with the MMR vaccine, you could have a bad reaction. You could get pneumonia. Some people could have a really severe allergic reaction. And in some cases, someone could die from an MMR vaccine.
Yeah.
That is true. That can happen. However, if you look at when you don't have the vaccines and people are just getting measles, so many more children will die from measles and complications from measles, and they'll go deaf, lots of other issues just from being infected with measles, than people will be affected by the MMR vaccine.
Yeah.
So while yes, your individual child could be negatively affected by having the vaccine, everyone else's child will be more children will be affected if no one has the vaccine.
Yeah.
And also, your child is more likely to be infected with actual measles if everyone else's children don't get the vaccine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's something that I'm going to get onto later as well, which is a really important point. But basically, I think the key point of this is the difference between anecdotal and experimental evidence. So, like I've said so many times, I've had to look through blog posts and comments to find anti-vax opinions and anti-vax facts on this, and all of them give evidence by saying, well, actually, my daughter or my friend's daughter or my son, my child, this person's child.
Like a direct story from their life is what you're saying.
Yes, yeah. An anecdote.
That's what an anecdote, yeah, basically.
So the difference between anecdotal and experimental evidence is effectively an anecdotal evidence is a story that you've told.
Mm-hmm.
It's a singular data point from either you or someone that you know, or a few data points from a few people that you know.
Yeah.
Whereas experimental evidence looks at a large group of people and has a control. Anecdotal evidence has no control. And also, you're going to ignore everything that doesn't go with your view. You're not going to tell all the anecdotes of, well, actually, Johnny got really sick from this vaccine. But all the 200 kids in his school, other 200 kids, they were fine.
The problem there as well is that you're telling a story and you're not knowing, you don't know what information you're leaving out. Mm-hmm. You're telling a story having already formed the opinion that vaccines cause autism. So you're telling the story about how someone got autism and in the past they had a vaccine.
Yeah. And in this case, it's not just autism, it's severe reactions, like quite a severe allergic reaction. So where you can get more ill than expected from a vaccine. But generally, you can be treated for that and you're more often than not fine.
Mm.
It can just happen that a child has quite a bad reaction, which can scare a lot of parents because no one wants their kid getting sick. Mm. But newsflash, if no one had vaccines, your kid would definitely be getting much more sick than they would without than they would with them. But yeah, effectively, anecdotal evidence is one story. Experimental evidence is lots of stories with control stories and non-biased storytellers. That's the key difference. So if to spot anecdotal evidence, if anyone ever tells you that something happened to a friend or something happened to their child or something happened to them, take it with a grain of salt, because that is just one data point going against the 650,000 that we have from Denmark.
Yeah.
And anecdotal evidence can seem like a lot more people, because if you have 10 people tell you something, but you read one paper.
Oh, it must be true then.
That's 10 to 1.
Yeah.
So you need to watch out for that. Look more for experimental evidence where things are controlled and they've got a high data set, rather than a story someone told you, because the story could not be true.
It's just a game of Chinese whispers, isn't it, at that point?
Effectively. And that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. Because I saw a lot of stories, but they're just stories from people. And yes, it could have happened, but there's no scientific basis to it, because no one has actually tested any of it.
Yeah.
Or looked at it against a lot of other people. And the last one is that vaccines have been said to cause mini strokes in small blood vessels in the brain, which can cause autism. I can't find a single paper that shows this. I don't know where it's come from. I don't know where people have got onto this, but let's break it down a little bit. Mini strokes, I can't remember the scientific name for it. I'm sorry. There's a lot of research that's gone into this. Effectively, a mini stroke is a small kind of blockage of a blood vessel in your brain. Now, in your body, you've got really, really tiny blood vessels that are so small that only one blood cell can get through at a time. So they've got to kind of, go one by one.
Oh, little.
Yeah, I know. Nice, isn't it?
single file.
Little.
And the idea here is that the vaccine causes an immune response which clogs the vessel with white blood cells, causing a miniature stroke, which deprives blood to localized parts of your brain, which then causes autism. Like I said, haven't seen a single paper that has even looked into this and found it to be the case.
Sure.
Those kind of miniature strokes do cause other diseases. I've seen papers that that show that they're involved in that, but they're not at all involved in autism. Not a single paper I found has even remotely insinuated that.
And also, if that were the case, so if you're breaking it into two sections, where like you're like, well, maybe it's possible that a mini stroke could cause an illness that is not autism, because autism is not an illness. But also, that would, if vaccines can cause mini strokes, any infection can cause mini strokes. If it's just caused by a blockage of white blood cells caused by a large amount of infection.
Here's the issue. It's because infants are given so many vaccines that it supercharges their immune system.
Right.
That they get such an immune response that it blocks up those little blood vessels. Which again...
Because it's mercury and there's aluminium and
there's not mercury for infants, remember.
Okay, aluminium and the other one.
But
yeah,
it doesn't. That doesn't add up. Scientifically,
your point is that's been checked, right?
Yeah, it's been checked. That's scaremongering.
Mm, right. The logic is really sound, though. The logic is decent, other than the part where you can catch autism from a mini stroke.
Yeah,
but the logic is sound.
To an extent, however, an immune response in those blood vessels wouldn't actually. I've read that technically an immune response in those blood vessels wouldn't happen in a way that would block them.
Right.
Such as to cause a stroke, because because some white blood cells are much bigger than red blood cells, and there are some really small white blood cells. Supposedly, the ones that are acting on these vaccines are smaller ones that wouldn't block up the the capillaries.
Right.
So it's wrong.
Then. Look, I can't really go much deeper into this. That one's wrong.
You're just wrong.
One day it might be proved right, but maybe.
Right now, it's wrong.
Right now, we don't have any studies that prove it's correct.
Right.
And the thing is, you might think that I'm being very wishy-washy about some of this. I'm hesitant to say that anything is wrong or completely out of the picture.
Yeah. Mm.
Because sometimes science is wrong.
That's actually something I learned from Greta Thunberg, which is really good, which is that Greta Thunberg's been going around saying, right now, the best evidence is that the planet is being affected by global warming caused by humans, not ruling out the fact that one day, it could be proven that that's not the case. But right now, it is what we think is the case. So should act as if it is.
Well, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? We have a better world to live in?
Yay!
We have less emissions.
Oh, darn. Breathable air. Why do we do it for nothing?
Damn. Oh, we'll do a different episode on climate change hoaxes.
Oh, I have got one coming up.
Hell yeah!
Woo! I've planned episodes out for months in advance. I've got so many.
That's good.
These mini strokes actually, no.
Don't happen.
Don't happen in the way that people say they do.
Then who diagnoses them? How?
I don't know.
Are there any recorded mini strokes?
No, there's some. That's the issue. There's not recorded mini strokes.
Right.
And mini strokes can't cause autism either.
No.
Well, then it's double wrong.
But the thing is, we don't know how autism is caused. And you'd think that if it was as simple as mini strokes, then we would have
figured
that out already.
And okay, someday it might come to light that that is somewhat the case. However, right now, children are dying because they're not being given vaccines.
Yeah.
Children are not dying from autism. Autism is not a disease. It's not something bad or awful. It just means that someone's brain works a little bit differently to yours.
Yeah.
And if you are willing to let your child die so that they don't think a little bit differently to you, then I don't know what to say to you as a parent, because honestly, I feel like you've got your priorities completely out of order. That's all I'm going to say on that.
Don't be mad at Big Pharma.
I've got a heading here that says why none of this episode matters. That's all of the debunking of those things, by the way.
We've debunked it. Well, I'm convinced. Thanks, Corey.
If you still believe that vaccines cause autism, here's a lovely little section called Why None of This Episode Actually Matters. It's what we've said before. People do not believe that vaccines cause autism because of evidence or any kind of scientific basis. It's a conspiracy theory. In the same way that you can't convince someone that believes in flat earth that the earth isn't flat with evidence and experiments because they believe it's a government held conspiracy, you can't convince an anti-vaxxer that they're not right because they don't care about your evidence because it's a big pharma conspiracy.
Yeah.
So like Lucas said, the only way to really really tackle that is with compassion and understanding and trying to coax them out of it by being nice to them.
Yeah, and you have to understand that the world they must be living in, where the government's lying to them and farmers lying to them and all the scientists, that's a scary, even if it's not real, the mental world they're living in, that's a scary place to be. That's a really scary place to be.
It is. And I think our world is scary enough without trying to find more things to be scared of, to be honest. I find it very difficult to when we get to this point to try and convince anyone of
because
the
you can't
truth. Because you can't but also
you can't I, by debunking things at well, least
yeah I mean I can debunk all I want but ultimately I'm so far removed from that mindset that I don't think I can I don't think I can accurately get in their head enough to find a way out. But why are vaccines important? Why can't children just not get vaccinated? Because it's the parent's choice, right? My body, my choice. I get to choose what happens to my child. I'm the parent. I know what's best.
It's not your body.
Yeah, but you know, your kids are property.
Baby,
whatever.
My child's my choice.
But why can't parents just choose to not get their kids vaccinated? That's not going to harm anyone else, is it?
Well, yes, it is.
It 100% is. Yeah. Not vaccinating your child can kill people. Not just your child, but other children. Why? Because of herd immunity, which Luke brought up a little bit earlier on. Do you know anything about that, you guys?
So basically, if you vaccinate over a certain percentage, I think 90% of a population, 95% of a population, then if the bacteria turns up, it's killed so quickly that no one actually gets the disease.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, I'm just going to recap that.
Sure.
No, just because it's not necessarily just bacteria, remember, it's bacteria and viruses.
Okay.
So any kind of disease. Yeah, effectively, if enough people are vaccinated, something can't spread because a disease needs to jump from person to person in order to infect people.
Yeah.
Now, if it jumps to someone who has been vaccinated, then it can't infect them. It stops there. So there's no path. So if there is someone
it's just like a dead end.
Yeah. So if there's someone that's, say, infected, if they're surrounded by people that have been vaccinated, then it's not going to spread. It's going to stick to that person and everyone else should be fine. Yeah. Even the people that haven't been vaccinated. Now, there are some people who can't actually be vaccinated. People are allergic to the vaccines. They're immunocompromised, such as people that have got AIDS or autoimmune disorders or the elderly or anyone
or immune suppressants.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone that can't actually get a vaccine without the risk of dying.
Mm.
Now, a lot of those people can be kids. Those kids can go to school. And if someone comes into school with the measles, with measles in them, there's a very good chance that immunocompromised child is going to die.
Yeah.
And the way that works is once you drop below a certain number of people having the vaccine or being immune to the disease, there is now a path for that disease to get through people.
Yeah.
Because there's enough people for it to find its way through.
Stop going.
While your child may be strong enough to recover from the disease, maybe just be a little bit deaf or, you know, some minor brain damage or have had pneumonia when they were a kid. Which happened to me, not fun, wouldn't recommend it. While your kid could survive, it hits someone that is weaker, an elderly person, again, immunocompromised child, they will die.
They're gone.
That will be on your hands. That is why you can't have a kid that's unvaccinated in school, because you are putting every other child
at risk.
Every other child at risk.
So would you say, this is an interesting one for me, because I don't know what the answer is to this. Would you say that parents should have the right to determine what happens to their child removed in the case of vaccines? Because that's a big thing to say. I'm not necessarily saying it's not true or shouldn't be true, but it is a big thing to say that parents don't have control over their kids in some choices.
This is the issue. I mean, ultimately, ultimately this comes down to kind of free speech or being able to really control your body with personal freedoms. This comes down to your own personal freedoms infringing on other people's freedoms. If I were to say, I don't know, have a skunk farm in my back garden, I'm well within my rights to do that. If I want to smell skunks in my garden, then I will smell skunks in my garden. Now, the issue comes where, oh, the smell is actually going to all of my neighbors, and they don't like that. That's infringing on their personal rights.
Yeah.
What do you do there? Well, I make sure that the smell only stays on my property.
Sure. So maybe that kids can't go to publicly funded schools if they don't have...
They're not vaccinated. In that case, I would say I don't think you should be able to take away the rights of the parent to choose to kill their child. And that's what I'm going to call it, because ultimately, if you're not going to vaccinate your child, you're increasing their risk of dying. The only reason they haven't died so far is because everyone else has been vaccinated. You're lucky right now. Yeah. But if you get your way, your children are going to die.
Yeah.
So, you can't take away a parent's right to not vaccinate their child, to potentially kill their child. You can't do that. But if they're not gonna do that, then they're not allowed to... They can't integrate into society because they're a danger to society. What do we do with people who are dangerous, who can kill people? We put them in jail. We keep them away from other people. If a child hurts other children, they're not going to stay in the classroom. That is the simple fact that if you are not willing to put the safety of, you know, of the entire population in front of your own personal beliefs, the things that you think must be true when evidence is kind of pointing to them not being true, if you're not willing to, you know, kind of take yourself out of that and put everyone else first, then I don't think that you should be allowed to
reap the benefits of society.
No, you can't. Exactly not. If you're not going to pay your taxes, you're not going to get the benefits of it. So in the same way, if you're not going to vaccinate your child can't be in public places to threaten other children.
Simple as that.
It's difficult. It is a difficult political position to be in. But ultimately, I think it's the easiest way to ensure that kids are vaccinated and the kids that can't be vaccinated are protected from people who choose not to vaccinate their children.
Effectively,
I think every child should be vaccinated because it's for the children. I'm sorry, in the same way that I don't think the parents' beliefs should infringe on a child's health. But there's nothing I can do to make parents vaccinate their kids. I wouldn't say to force them to, because that gets into a really murky area of taking away people's rights. But if you're a parent that is even on the fence about vaccinating your child, please do some real research and really think about the safety of your child after this.
Don't just listen to the Daily Mail and Alex Jones.
Listen to Sci Guys.
Vaccinate yourself, and for the love of Christ, vaccinate your bloody kids.
Weigh up the consequences of autism versus the consequences of having a dead child.
Yeah. To be fair, a dead child is much easier to care for than an autistic child.
And that's the end of the show.
Bloody hell.
Thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave a nice wee review? You can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Woo!
Or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
Don't forget to find us on Patreon. You can find me at NotCorey everywhere.
Find me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can find me at LukeUpworth everywhere.
Good boy.
Bye.